Therefore,
we are really interested in verse 16. Read, brother.
Therefore sent he thither horses and chariots and a great host, and they came by night and compassed the city about. And when the servants of the man of God was risen early and gone forth, behold, an host compassed the city, both with horses and chariots. And his servant said unto him, Alas, my master, how shall we do? And he answered, Fear not, for they that be with us are more than they that be with them.
So a lot of what we are about to look at from the Bible perspective has to do with that phrase, more than. And if we title tonight's lesson, you can title it, Heaven's Help. Heaven's Help. Far superior to all our antagonists or enemies, spiritual or human, can do to us. We are spiritual enemies. That is the devil and those who work under his operation. We also have human enemies. People who don't wish you good, who would like to see wrong come to you, and who would do wrong to you if they get the chance. Our worst enemy, of course, is the spiritual enemy, the devil. The utterance or the acknowledgement of Elisha in verse 16, comforting and encouraging his servant, who I have probably no doubt that his servant was trembling with fear. Alas, my master, what shall we do? They were surrounded by the powerful army of the Syrians. So tonight we look on Heaven's help is far superior to all that our enemies or antagonists, and be they human or spiritual, can do. Now, in the passage of 2 Kings, where we are, the they that are with us. Do you run your mind over that truth and wonder who are the they? There is hardly any doubt that the they there is referring to angels. God's ministering angels. Angels. Were also the chariots of fire that we see in 1 verse there. In other words, when we read the passage, it's important that we keep in mind that God was not working trick on Elisha's servant or on Elisha. They that are with us. Elisha was referring to angels. When Elisha's servant's eyes were open and he looked around and saw the woods packed with soldiers and chariots of fire, that also were angels. The Almighty God was simply impressing upon Elijah's servant's mind the potential of protection that is available to God's children. And in those words, God is speaking also to us. So the horses and the chariots of fire which came to Elijah's help were also angels. Angels are the unseen bodyguard of God's children. That's right. Look at Hebrews chapter 1, verse 14. Look at Psalms 103, verses 19 through 21. That shines a little more light on who angels are. And we are talking about the good, obedient angel who minister at the throne of God. Hebrews chapter 1, verse 14 says,
"Are they not all ministering spirits?"
Are they not all ministering spirits?
"Sent forth to minister to them who shall be heirs of salvation."
Do you see what I see? You notice, of course, the Bible was comparing angel in this passage with Jesus Christ. And pointing out that Jesus Christ stands so far above angel in power, in importance, in superiority, and whatever. But then here, by comparing, showing the Hebrews the comparison between Jesus Christ and angel, he dropped this piece of truth to tell us that angel are ministering servants. And you know to whom they minister? Heirs of promise. You know who that is? Us, the Christian. That's right. They are ministering spirits sent to minister to the heirs of promise. That's us, the Christian. Read verse. That is Psalms 103, verse 19 through 21.
"The Lord has prepared his throne in heaven, in the heavens, and his kingdom ruleth over all."
God's kingdom rules over all. Read.
"Bless the Lord.
Bless the Lord.
He is angels.
He angels.
That excel in strength."
The angel excel in strength.
"That do..."
Wait, brother, take time. There is no created being, get this, who have the strength and the power of angel. They excel in strength. No created being, no other angel, have the type of power and strength that God's angel, ministering angel, have. They excel in strength. Read on.
"That do his commands."
They do God's command. They are obedient to the Almighty God.
"Hearkening unto the voice of his word." "Bless ye the Lord." "All ye his hosts, ye ministers of his."
You hear? They are referred to as hosts. Further down in the lesson, I may have reason to come back to that point, hosts, which means they are not little bit. They are not enough. That's right. Read on.
"Ye ministers of his that do his pleasure."
They do God's pleasure. The superiority of angel to anything human or satanic can be of great encouragement to us. Let me say that again. The superiority of angel in comparison to anything human or to anything satanic should be of encouragement to God's people. So we spend the next few minutes looking on the business of more than. When in verse 16, Elisha told his servant that those who were with Elisha and his servant were more than the thousands upon thousands of Syrian soldiers that surround the city. We want to look on some of the implication of more than. Angels, obedient angels who are God's servants, they are more in numbers than the foe or than the enemies. What do you mean, Brother Mitchell? They are more angels to protect, work for, guide, direct God's people than they are evil men or angels to do us harm. More than. If we concentrate our attention to merely what we see. Remember this morning in the lesson, I pointed out a fact which you know, but which sometimes we don't bring it up and sift it. And that is, our physical eyes see only so much. Not spiritual things and things of God. They are seen by our belief, our faith. When the Bible says we walk by faith, it's something we need to learn to do. Because the spiritual eyes of faith see much more than and far beyond what our physical eyes can see. That's a fact. So if we concentrate our attention to merely what we see in this world, that is just merely what we see, we will conclude that the angels of evil and the agents of evil are more than the agents of good. But when you come to that conclusion, you would have been making a terrible mistake. The angel of good far outnumber the agents of evil. The Word of God present the opposite view. That is, the view that evil outnumber good, and that they are more on the side of evil than on the side of good. God's Word teaches us differently. That's why the Bible, in fact, one of the time, I may just have a lesson, probably a backup to this one, showing some of the adjectives, numerical words that are used to describe angels, such as host, legion, and terms like that. That are used to describe the angels of God. Um, get this, in the universe, in this entire universe, evil is the exception and good is the rule. Brother Mitchell, what you are saying? Well, let me tell you what me are saying. In this world, in the universe, evil is the exception. Good is the rule. Let me further explain that. Evil exists in the world as a contingency. That is, evil may be or might not be. That is evil. Good exists as an absolute necessity. Evil, the contingency which might or might not be, was never meant to be in the world forever. But good, righteousness, that represents God, that is the rule, that was meant to be in the world, in the universe forever. In other words, evil has only a temporary abode here. Good was meant by God to be everlasting. The days of evil are numbered. The time of good and righteousness has no limit. So we must never treat evil and agents of evil as they are the dominant force. They are not. When Elisha said, they that are with us are more than they that are with them. He knew, he was parting on this very principle. He knew that evil, however powerful and dominant it might appear for a time, he knew that evil days are numbered. But good, right, truth, godliness, that is meant to be here forever. Evil, as I said, exists as a contingency. It might or might not be, but good exists by an absolute necessity. Good is and must be. You know why? Because God is good. And God must be. That which is good and that which is right are here to stay. So when the Bible, when Elisha said, they that are with us are more than they that are with them, that is the Syrian force that represent evil, Elisha was well aware of what he was saying. The angel that represent good are more in number than the foes and than the enemy. But secondly, angels are more in their instrumentality. Or the instrumentality that they exercise, they are more than the evil angel. The agents of evil, well, let me be positive. The agents of good are not only more in number, but They are more in the superiority of the armor or the weapon that they have at their disposal. That is the agent or the angels of good. Not only are they more in number, but they are more in the armor or in the weapon that they use to accomplish the purpose that God sent them out there to accomplish for us. May I just briefly, among the armor, among the weapon of the angels and agents of good, is things like truth. You see, agents of evil, human or spiritual, don't like truth. That's right. The agents and the angels of good use among their weapon as truth, love, right, righteousness are among the weapons that God's servants use. Among the weapon that the agents of evil use is falsehood, evil, hate, selfishness, and things like that. These are the miserable weapon of the agents of evil. So, the agents of evil, rather the agent, the angels of good are more in the instrumentality that they exercise. That is their instrument, their armor. They have more effective weapon than the angels of evil. The agents and the angels of God and of good are more in their invincible determination. Brother Mitchell, explain that. The holy angels of the Almighty God operate by the strength and the power of the purpose under which they act. The purpose under which they act. The angels of God act knowing that they are carrying out the will of the Almighty God, whatever they do. Did you know that angels of evil, are afraid of the power of God? In the gospel, you have never read of evil angel casting out evil spirit, casting out good spirit. Truly. Because evil angels cannot do that. They don't have the power to do that. Everywhere we read is where either God's servants, the apostles or other Christians, or Jesus Christ, casting out evil spirit. You have never read where evil spirit is casting out the good. Not only that, the evil spirit are the agents under Satan's control. Know that they are already defeated. Look at Matthew chapter 8 and verse 29.
And behold, They cried out, saying, "What have we to do with thee, Jesus, thou Son of God? Art thou come hither to torment us before the time?"
You see, notice that they took for granted that their day of torment is coming. They took for granted that they are already defeated. They represent evil. All that they wanted to know from Jesus Christ: have you hastened the time of our torment? You see, they are afraid. And that is Satan's spirit, Satan's angels. So we must be careful that we don't have in our mind here that evil and wrongdoing is so rampant, and it has done so much moral damage, that we begin to wonder if heaven have lost the war, the battle. No, the battle has already been won when Jesus Christ came from the grave. And way back then, before Jesus Christ, Elisha, when he said, "They that are with us are more than they," so you don't have to tremble when you see the big Syrian army surround the city. It's like Elisha saying, "Calm down. There is more power at our disposal than all the armies of the world can produce." God's holy angel operate by the strength and the power of their purpose under which they act. They know they act on God's will, God's purpose. That nothing. But brothers and sisters, you know, we speak much about conviction from this pulpit. I point out that for so many of us, that's what we lack. Angels that perform service around God's throne, they have conviction. When the Almighty God send them out there to do anything, they do it with boldness, because they know that the strength and the power and the might of heaven is behind them. And they know that whatever power exists out there can never override their power. That's what I meant when I talk about the operate by the strength and the purpose, the power of their purpose. A man or woman, for that reason, with a weak purpose or weak conviction, will not accomplish much, however great that person's advantages might be. It doesn't matter how the plus back you up. If you do not have conviction or a strong purpose behind you in what you are doing, you will not accomplish much. Evil and wickedness cannot operate from a point of invincible power. I repeat, evil and wickedness can never operate from a point of view of invincible power. The evil and the ungodly, in whatever area of life they occupy, wherever in the world they are, those who live by evil principle, this is your attention I need. Those who live by evil principle always live and operate with fear. They always. Their own conscience is what placed that fear in an evil man. In many cases, the gunman is the most fearful person around. That's right. Many of the gunmen out there is afraid to let his friend know that he has a gun. Because he knows that that friend is planning how to kill him and get the gun. That's right. So I repeat, evil can never operate from the point of invincible purpose. The wise man Solomon is right in Proverbs 28:1. Let us hear it.
The wicked flee when no man pursues.
That's a fact. A person who lives by evil principle and godly principle. That's the person way of life. That person lives in fear. Amen. He or she must live in fear. The man or woman who gains money by crooked principle is always wondering when he's going to be caught. Or when somebody going to do something evil against him to get that money. The wicked run when nobody are running them. That's a fact. Amen. So don't ever believe that the agents of evil have any power over you.
But the right.
That's why Elisha could so calmly give assurance to his servants. Fear not. They that are with us are more than they that are with them. And last but not least, the angels are more in their authority or the authority under which they operate or act. They that are with us are more than in the 3 points I've mentioned, and finally in the last point, the angels of God operate on the authority of the Almighty God, and therefore they are more in authority than the wicked evil angel. The agents of evil act on the authority or power of one who himself is conquered and subdued. Evil angels that follow Satan act knowing that Satan has already been subdued and conquered. But the angels of God act under the authority and the power of an infinite God. I end the lesson with Romans 13:1. Read it for us.
Let every soul be subject unto the higher powers, for there is no power but of God. The powers that be are ordained of God.
Do we understand that? The power that the so-called of the man or four-year doctor operate by is made possible only because of God's permissive will. The power that Satan has fooled many people to think he has Whatever Satan does, he has to do it at God's permissive will. The passage says, let every soul be subject unto the higher powers. And then get this, for there is no power but that of God. It means wherever power is, governmental power, atomic power, nuclear power, money power, name it, all of it are subject to the power of God. And we must keep that in mind. They that are with us are always and will always be more than they that are with them. If you are here tonight and it's you are not a child of God, we are encouraging you to come and give your life to Jesus Christ so that the power that Christ vests in Christianity and in His church and in the lives of those who are obedient to Him and follow Him, that power can be yours. The Bible says that God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power, of love, of sound mind. Thanks be to God for that power. Our problem is we are not making use of it. If we were making use of the power available to us, we would be more positive and we would undertake more for Jesus Christ.